Chapter 3, Noah's Ark. The next miracle we would mention is that of the ark which Noah was told to make, and all the circumstances connected with it. We might well say that there is a whole cluster of miracles here. Let us see then what it meant for Noah and his family, with some of every living thing that breathed, to be saved from the great flood which God sent to destroy the earth. In the first place, if we consider the size of the ark, how wonderful it was that Noah should be able to build so large a ship, and that it should be kept afloat upon the rising waters, and all within to be preserved in safety. If we take a cubit to be about 20 inches, we shall find that the ark was something like 500 feet long, 85 feet broad, and 50 feet high. Indeed, so large a vessel, and with its 3 stories, was necessary to take all the animal life which entered into it with Noah. Yet it floated safely on the floods, and no water leaked into the inside, so that all within were safe. But especially Noah and all with him were safe because, as we are told, the Lord shut him in. This was the hand of God in working the miracle to save them from the flood. Then, if we consider all the different beasts and fowl and creeping things that went in with Noah, what a miracle was needed to bring them all together and make them go into the ark just at the time when the flood was coming. Must there not have been a mighty unseen power to bring them all into the ark and to make them dwell peaceably together for so long a time? For we must remember that Adam had fallen and sin had entered into the world, and the beasts and fowl had begun to prey on one another for their food. What a wonderful power there must have been then to keep all these animals in peace within the ark. Then there was the problem of feeding all this great company in the ark. For God had said to Noah, "Take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them." God could, if he pleased, have kept them alive without food, but this was not his way. It was the same when Jesus fed the thousands of people that followed him. He was pleased to use a few loaves and fishes, and to multiply them so that everyone had enough, and there was still plenty left. So also when Elijah went to live with the widow, the meal and the oil did not fail all the while the famine lasted. These are wonderful miracles, and was it not a miracle also that the food which Noah took into the ark was kept fresh and made enough to feed them all for a whole year? Then the sending of the flood was in itself a great miracle, for the waters rose so high that nothing which breathed could escape if they were not inside the ark. Not only were the windows of heaven opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, but also the fountains of the great deep were broken up. This seems to mean that the sea overflowed the shores, which kept it in bounds. For we are told that in the creation God strengthened the fountains of the deep when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment. Proverbs 8, verses 28 and 29. But now the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and they flooded the dry land. It was the hand of God then that caused this miracle, for the sea to pass his commanded bounds. The same mighty hand is still needed to fulfill his promise to Noah, that there should not be any more a flood to destroy the earth. But although this will be so to the end of the world, Peter tells us that the heavens and the earth are reserved unto fire against the day of judgment. That great day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. How we do need then to seek that we may be found safely hid in Christ, the ark of grace, when that day comes. To those who are found in him, God has said, "As I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee." You will, of course, find the account of the flood in the book of Genesis, chapters 6 to 9. Then you can read of the end of the world in the second of Peter, chapter 3, and God's promise to those who are in Christ in Isaiah, chapter 54.